recorder going and we'll start class. I will run a little bit late today, possibly, and I have a good excuse because we're starting late. So the question we're going to deal with today is, what is prayer? And if you can't see the screen, you may want to move over a little bit. But most about everything we will go over will be in the handout, which you will get at the end of class. Some of you have not been here before. Let me say this. My MO is to have a handout. But last quarter I taught the teenage class, and I found out that if you gave the handout at the end of class, they pay attention better during class. So that's kind of what I'm trying to use this quarter. According to the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question number 98, prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to His will in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. Prayer is the cry of human heart to the great God of the universe, according to T.W. Hunt. Prayer is the voice of a child to the loving Heavenly Father. Prayer is the expression of our need to the loving Father who is ready to help. Prayer is inviting God, who always has time, into the midst of our busy lives. Prayer is a precious gift from God that gives us the right and privilege of talking with Him anytime, anywhere. There are several Greek words that's been translated by the word pray or prayer. When we see the context where these words are used, it is easy to perceive that they are talking about the activity of prayer. I am not going to try to pronounce these words, but they will be in your handout, and you can understand it better why I can't pronounce them. But the first word is this euchomai. Does anyone know Greek enough they can help us out in this? No? Good. It's all Greek to me. Well, this first word means to pray, to wish for something. We see examples of this in 2 Corinthians 13:7. Not do anything wrong. James 5:16, it talks about a healing. And in 3 John 2, talks about every good health and all that may go well. The second word is the proseuchomai. This means to be earnest or fervent in our prayers. Some examples of this is Romans 8:26, Ephesians 6:18, which talks about be alert and always keep on praying. Philippians 1:9 talks about be able to discern what is best. The third word, erotao, means to ask, to beseech. Some examples is Acts 23:18, when Paul was in prison, and he's asked to bring this young man to you. In other words, a prisoner was talking to Paul. 1 John 5:16 is an example of to beseech on behalf of someone. And then the last word, D-E-O-M-A-I, it talks about to desire, to beseech, to request. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, we see where we are to employ you on Christ's behalf. And then 2 Corinthians 8:4, where they urgently pleaded in verse 4. There are other terms that are used along with the word prayer, which may also help to define what prayer is. Ephesians 6:18 is a request. We see a request in that verse. Philippians 4:6, they're talking about petition with thanksgiving. James 5:16, we talked about earlier, is a healing going on. And in 1 Timothy 2:1, which is a famous verse, petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings. Any questions on what all those Greek words and what have you? Oh, I think I'm a slide behind. Sorry. There's the slide we just came across. Lisa, good to have you stay with us today. Lisa, if y'all haven't met Lisa, I don't know what her name is now. She's always Lisa Lachlan to me. She's Derek's mom. Lisa and I graduated high school together, and my parents and her parents were like best friends when we lived in Milton. So I don't get to see Lisa much other than funerals. That's where we see each other a lot lately. Anyway, I digress. So prayer defined in the Bible is, and here's seven examples, lifting up our soul to God, a pouring out our heart to God, a crying out to God, spiritual incense to God, coming before the throne of grace. Prayer is a spiritual sacrifice and the fruit of our lips, and drawing close to God in friendship, fellowship, and trust. There are at least four good reasons that can be given to show the importance of prayer. First one is, the most faithful men of God in the Old Testament were praying men. In Genesis 15 and verse 6, and then Genesis 18, 22 through 32, have an example of Abram, which of course then became Abraham, praying on behalf of Sodom. And we talked about it some last week, where he was actually negotiating with God. He started out saying, if I can find 50 faithful people, will you save Sodom? And of course it chunked on down to basically the only ones that were saved were Lot and his family. In Exodus 32, 30 through 35, we have the example of Moses. And here Moses is praying for the Israelites on behalf of the Israelites because they had just made the golden calf. And God was kind of upset with them, if you remember that story. 1 Samuel, we have an example of Samuel, who is praying to find a king to succeed him. Also, 1 Samuel 12, Samuel again is praying on behalf of the people to God. And then we have David in 2 Samuel. And of course, the Psalms is full of David's prayers. Second reason prayer is important: Jesus, the Son of God, prayed often. And in a few weeks, we're going to actually have one. Our entire lesson will be on the prayers of Jesus. But here's just a few quick examples. In Luke 3, 21, after he was baptized, before the Holy Spirit ascended on Christ as a form of the dove, what was he doing? Okay, this is a prayer class. So usually questions are related to prayer. Yeah, in Luke 3, 21, he was praying. Very good. Verse 21, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him as the form of a dove. So Christ was praying right after his baptism. In Luke 6, right before he chose the 12 apostles, we find that he was praying. Matthew 14, this is immediately after the feeding of the 5,000, what we call the feeding of the 5,000. He went up on the mountainside. He dismissed the apostles and the crowd, and he went up on the mountain to pray. And also John 17 is three prayers that he prayed on the mountain. First he prayed for himself, then the disciples, and then all the believers. In a couple of weeks again, we'll talk about those three prayers particularly. The third reason prayer is important: I got myself a note to change slides, so anyway, I meant to break that up so it's not so much on one page. Okay, third reason prayer is important: the apostles and early church prayed often. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. Acts 4, verses 23 through 31, but the verse that we're looking at is verse 24. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Acts 6, 1 through 4, again, verse 4, give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Acts 12, 1 through 5. The church was earnestly praying to God. In Acts 13, 1 through 3, verse 3, after they had fasted and prayed. And then in Acts 14, they talk about fasting and prayer. And again, we'll be talking about fasting and prayer a little bit later on. And finally, the fourth reason prayer is important: because there are so many recorded prayers of people praying in the entire Bible. Any questions or comments about people praying, examples of people praying?
Actually, on the previous slide, spiritual incense to God.
Yeah.
Number four, that just kind of struck me.
Does that look out of focus to you?
Possibly. But spiritual is, you know, we talk about how the Old Testament, they burned so much incense and And even some churches today burn incense.
Yeah.
And it's just because spiritual incense to God. That just,
right.
That term struck me. It's been hanging with me since you said it. But that's just a neat thought.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else have a thought or a comment? Okay. Prayer is the general term for addressing God. God speaks to us through His Word, and we talk to Him through prayer. Prayer is more than thinking. Prayer is a communication with two parties involved. God listens and the Christian talks. God has made it possible for His children to talk to Him. We have examples in 1 Timothy 2 and 5. He's the mediator. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. God asks His children to call upon Him. He does that in Luke and then in Ephesians and also 1 Timothy. And then in 1 Thessalonians, we talked about some last week, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. Prayer is the privilege and duty of the righteous. We see that in James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Prayer was designed for God's children. Those trying to live righteously have their prayers approved of, has their prayers approved of God. That's 1 Peter 3:10 and 12 through 12. Prayer is asking, seeking, and knocking. We find that in Matthew 7:7 through 11. Asking petitions of God, seeking answers to life's problems, and knocking to gain entrance into a more abundant life. Prayer is an act of faith. We find that in Luke 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told His disciples they should always pray and not give up. In James 1, 5 through 7, in verse 6 it says, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. One cannot please God without faith. We find that in Hebrews 11, 6. And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. I'm moving fast, but anybody have any questions? We'll slow down here in a minute, or a few minutes. So this is a question for you. Must someone verbalize private prayers? Do we need to verbalize private prayers? I got one head shaking no. Yes, ma'am.
Somebody has mentioned that, of course, God is omnipotent and all-knowing as well. So He can read our minds since He created them. So when we pray silently, He, of course, hears us. But who does not hear us, because he does not have the power of God, is the devil.
Okay.
And that our praying aloud reminds the devil that God is the one who is all-powerful, and that we appeal to God, and that we worship Him.
So we should always pray verbally?
That was just a comment that the devil can't read your mind. And when you're trying to combat him, that praying out loud lets the devil know that you're going to God who will fight on your behalf.
Yeah.
Have you ever, I'm not a Bible scholar at all, is there any place that says pray silently to yourself? I know that there's the passage that paraphrases, you know, go into your closet and pray so you're not thought to be boasting or, and so, which makes me think that you're praying out loud or while
nobody
they go into your closet,
that.
You know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the answer, but I'm just curious.
Dub just stood up, so he has the answer.
Oh, good.
No, I was trying to listen.
Oh.
I'm of the opinion that praying is praying, and that we should pray silently, we should pray out loud. I think that at times if we feel like we're under attack by Satan and he's trying to influence our life in the wrong direction, that out loud prayer, praising God, rebuking Satan is a fabulous thing to do. But God just wants to hear from us. That's a part of our relationship. He loves us.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
And I always wonder, where you cannot give glory to God, because I don't
know what your need is, and I don't know, I'm not going to see God's glory and answer if you don't tell me what
right. Can't pray specifically if we don't know, is I think is your point. Bernard?
This is a thought. When you're praying out aloud, like Deborah said, Satan can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that acknowledging to him? Especially if you have a problem that praying for patience, praying for certain things that we may have, you're acknowledging that to Satan, so he knows where to come back, come at you. So, and I know God will give us a way out of everything, but we are letting him know where we are weak, because we can have some weaknesses that we want to keep in the closet.
Right.
When you acknowledge it out loud, he knows it, so he's going to give you more temptation. Am I correct in thinking that way?
You're playing devil's advocate to Deborah's statement. It's what you're doing.
Yes. Deborah?
I think Satan knows weaknesses that I don't even admit. So, you know, I mean, I don't disagree with you. And that, of course, was not my comment. It was something that somebody said to me. But I do think that sometimes when we say things out loud, you know, if I hurt Luke's feelings and I think, oh, should we come in? I'm sorry. And I don't say anything to him. Yeah, no, we shouldn't have done that, I'm sorry. So I think sometimes I need to say things out loud for me to recognize, I'm sorry, God, I want your direction. I think it's a little more powerful to me sometimes when I'm having to say it out loud.
Valeria's got her hand up. She has the answer.
Well, I'm certainly not a scholar, but... Isn't there somewhere in the Bible where it covers where sometimes we don't have the words to pray and he knows our heart?
That's raw spirit. Sure.
Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit interprets that, yeah. Dub?
In response to Bernard's and Deborah's, I used to have that premise that to speak silently because I'm exposing to the devil what are my issues that he can attack. But I realize that that takes away from the power of God, is that if we're fearful of exposing what our weaknesses are, then that's saying that God can't intervene in that. So prayers to not be fearful of what we expose, because God is who we're talking to, and Satan is really a periphery of that, not to focus on what to keep from him or to expose to him, but to realize that God's all powerful and can take care of that through our prayers that we have to speak.
All right, you want to know what I came up with? I came up with no. And here's why. Hebrews 4:13, God knows our hearts, like has already been said. 4:13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Acts 15:8 says, God who knows the heart, which someone talked about. We have an example of Hannah in 1 Samuel 1:12 through 17. She poured out her soul before the Lord by silently praying and asking petitions of God. And verse 15 actually says, I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Of course, she was deeply troubled if you go back and look at the early part of verse 15. So my position is, no, you do not have to verbalize it, because God knows your heart. He knows our minds, and he knows everything. So
why do you have to pray at all?
Because he asked you to. He wants you to. Correct. Yeah.
But also, just praying silently leads to him is sometimes your close personal walk with him where you just need to talk to him. So I think there's a place for both.
Yeah.
And you don't really need to designate someone. You just pray silently, or you just, you know, let's just pray when you have the Holy Spirit talking to you.
And there's something that I'm not a psychiatrist and all that. Maybe some of y'all can help me. There's a thing about verbalizing. Even when you're reading a book or something, if you read it out loud, something happens inside of you where you remember it, or it kind of sinks in thicker or deeper or whatever. Has anyone ever heard that?
You have two senses that work instead of just
read it,
one.
Write it, say it.
Because then you, it's, it, I think it's more powerful, especially when you express something. Because people, when you look yourself in the mirror and you say something to yourself, it has a deeper meaning than just you saying it to yourself.
Yeah.
It's just the two senses. It's more powerful when you verbalize.
Yeah. But there's nothing wrong with not verbalizing. That's the point is.
Yes.
So you can do it either way.
But also on top of that, when you are praying, you are acknowledging God because he wants you to acknowledge him.
Right.
And you're giving him the praise for whatever he's done for you or going to
are
do.
Are going to
you.
Do,
A lot of times we pray in the future, not just for now. So we should always want to acknowledge him in prayer.
There's something real powerful about going in your closet and praying.
You were in the closet.
And I tell him, I had a blanket over my head and I was praying. I said, I'm not coming out until I feel like I've got an answer.
Yeah.
I think I stayed in my closet for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And that was very powerful. Prayer is a powerful thing. You know, to me, the essence of the whole conversation is praying.
Right. That's the point. David?
I was going to say, the statement is, well, if God knows our every prayer. Of course, Betsy is not here now, but if God knows our every prayer, why do we pray? Our prayer is our daily acknowledgement that God is our God. We are glorifying him. Jesus is our Savior. We adore him for everything he did.
And we covered that last week to some degree. So if you missed out, the handout's up here. Yes, ma'am.
If you're praying, you're not sinning.
Hopefully. Yeah.
All right, let's move on. We're gonna move on with that one. Even though it may be hard to define prayer to everyone's satisfaction, it obviously is something that all of us do. In fact, prayer seems to be a universal thing with human beings. It has been said that at least one time in a person's life he will pray, even an atheist. Since prayer is so universal, it is important that we know accurately what the Bible says so that we can be sure that our prayers have value and can prevail with God. Next week, we're going to actually cover two topics. For whom is prayer a privilege? In other words, who has the right to pray? We're going to talk about whose prayers does God actually hear? And then we're going to cover what should we pray for? Now, we finished early, which I thought we probably would. You can be passing these around. This is the handout for what we've covered so far. But I have another discussion question, and we got 10 minutes, so we should be able to cover it thoroughly. The question is it acceptable to repeatedly pray for the same thing? In other words, is doing so a lack of faith? Should we pray one time and then leave it alone and leave it in God's hands?
Luke 18. All has to be said right there. Luke 18. You already referenced it once.
Can we get some discussion? I got to burn up 10 minutes. Has anyone ever heard anyone say, let's pray for it, put it in God's hands, and leave it alone and never pray for it again?
Yes.
Has anybody ever heard that? I have. And it was kind of disturbing when I first heard it.
I'm not giving up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe in his time.
We're going to talk about that in just a minute. What is his time? Yes, sir.
The New Testament scriptures tell us that the effectual fervent prayers.
Prayers, plural.
Of a righteous man availeth much. It doesn't say prayer.
Correct.
It says prayer.
Correct. Right. David Bailey referenced Luke 18. If you look at verses 1 through 7, we're not going to read it, but that's the scripture. Jesus is using a parable here to tell a story about a widow who came to an unjust judge, seeking justice against her adversary. Because of her persistence in prayer, the judge relented. Jesus' point is, if an unjust judge will grant the petition of someone who perseveres in a request for justice, how much more will the God who loves us answer our prayer when we keep praying? The parable does not teach that if we pray for something over and over, God is obligated to give it to us, but in answering prayer, he keeps his promises and delays his power. Again, in Luke 11, verses 5 through 12, we find here that Jesus' message is, if a man will inconvenience himself to provide for a needy friend, God will provide for our needs far more, since no request is an inconvenience to him. The promise is not that we will receive whatever we ask if we just keep asking. God's promise to his children is a promise to meet our needs, not our wants. And he knows our needs better than we do. And again, later on in another class, we're going to actually talk about why aren't my prayers answered. The same promise is reiterated in Matthew 7 and in Luke 11, where the good gift is further explained to be the Holy Spirit. There is nothing wrong with repeatedly asking for the same thing as long as what you're praying for is within the will of God. That's James 4 and 1 John 5. So keep asking until God grants your request, Teresa, even if it's 15 years, or removes the desire from your heart. Sometimes God forces us to wait for an answer to our prayers in order to teach us patience and perseverance. Sometimes we ask for something that is not yet in God's timing for our lives. Sometimes we ask for something that is not God's will for us, and he says no. So the question is, what are the four possible answers to prayer in descending order? And I've kind of already hinted two of them. And in the descending order, I'm talking about we're going to start with yes. Oh, there's the question. We're going to start with yes, because we all know he does answer prayer. So what would come under yes in descending order?
No. Later.
There's some in between. There's two more in between.
Later.
Not now. All right. Yes, but not now. And that would mean, you know, wait a while. You know, it's coming, but not right now. And then what would the next one be before we get to know? This is the one I had never heard of until I was studying for this class. There is a third one.
No, but this is better.
Huh?
No, but this is better.
There you go. It's a yes. It's a yes, but not as expected. In other words, I'm going to grant your request, but I'm actually going to make it better. Has that ever happened?
Yeah.
Okay, because sometimes, like someone said, we don't know what we should pray for. And God says, well, I do. So I don't want to give you what you're asking for. I'm going to give you something a little bit better. And then, of course, the last one is no. Prayer is not only our presenting request to God, it is God presenting his will to our hearts. So keep on asking, keep on knocking, and keep on seeking, and God grants your request or convinces you that your request is not his will for you. And again, next week we'll cover these two subjects. Any questions, comments on what we've covered? Thank you very much. I have a question for you, and I have a valuable prize. I know y'all waiting on my door prizes. Pencil sales increased 700% in the year after what became popular? Pencil sales increased 700% in the year after what became popular? Erasers. You would think it is the other way around. Electric pencil sharpener?
It's a manual.
SAT? What? Password?
Crossword?
Close. Very close.
Sudoku?
Sudoku. Yeah. Pencil sales increased 700% after Sudoku was invented. Any final comments, questions? What is Sudoku? Yeah, I do actually, but not with me. Before we leave, let's say a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together today. Until we're together again, we ask that you bless us abundantly and bind us with love that can never be broken. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.